The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is Monday, the 18th day of October 2021. Things we will examine today. I told you last week, just get ready for the term supply chain to wrap around your brain, because it's an economic story and it's a political story. It is a horrible economic story. The American economy is in a kind of peril not seen since the late 1970s. Interestingly, that's what brought down the Carter presidency. That yielded Reagan. I don't ever want things to be going to crap in my country so that we can vote out a Democrat president. But if things are going horribly and his policies are A, part of the reason why, and B, of no help in getting us out of this situation, and if that accrues to a conservative benefit in 22 and 24, then okay, I will let the game come to me. Now let me tell you something that's coming at you today. We've got us a birthday. As you approach the show today, as you call us, oh, we're going to have a good time. 866-660-5759. Your first interface is with producer Rhonda K. Moore, who today celebrates another trip around the sun. So, as you seek to get with me for anything topically, just give her a big happy birthday. As you approach the show, for whatever purpose you may have today, I've got a lot of news from the weekend, a lot of stuff we did over the weekend. Those crazy Cowboys, dude, something really special may be happening here. Something special may be happening. For years, the reason it's been painful being a Cowboys fan is because this team, despite some mighty talent, has somehow found ways to lose and just rip out your heart, throw it on the floor, and stomp on it. And I thought that was what was going to happen yesterday, because we were up, then we're down, then we're up, then we're down, feeling good, feeling terrible, feeling good, feeling terrible. Trayvon Diggs with a pick six. Oh, yeah, but then we surrender a 75-yard bomb. Zuerlein with a field goal. Oh, it's no good. Of course, Greg the occasional leg, Zuerlein. But redeems himself with a game-tying 49-yarder, and then we get a defensive stop, and then Dak works his magic again. Just works his magic again. And the Cowboys win in overtime 35-29. Our fourth straight game scoring 35. The Dak had like 445 yards in the air, the most ever thrown against any team coached by Bill Belichick. And I know it's not the Tom Brady Patriots, but it was in Foxborough. They're not bad. And this had trap game written all over it, and they found a way not to lose. And I got the bye week, which is good, because Dak has like some calf injury or something like that. So I don't even know. I'm going to continue to let the game come to me, quite literally. And, you know, when we're 10-1, maybe I'll start to believe. But it's a terrible division, and the schedule is not threatening, and there could be some amazing things about to unfold in the world of football. Okay. An American of great consequence has passed away. We have learned of this morning. Colin Powell has died at the age of 84. His heart for service his service to this country. Secretary of State from 01 to 05. Powell and his successor, Condoleezza Rice, were the highest-ranking African-Americans in the history of the federal executive branch. Gee, who did that? It wasn't a Democrat. Thank you very much. He was National Security Advisor from 87 to 89, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs from 89 to 93. And the mind and the heart behind our great, great successes in the Gulf War. Time passes more quickly than we usually think, but and I guess it was just because he always looked pretty healthy and maybe younger than he was, but the first thing that occurred to me was Colin Powell was 84? Really? Oh, yeah. I mean, although those Gulf War stories were 30 years ago, and he was already quite the accomplished member of the top military brass. So, yeah, if you're in your mid-50s for that, you're in your mid-80s now. So may God rest the soul of Colin Powell. Born in New York City, raised in the South Bronx, an incredible story of achievement, an incredible story of service to the military and to this country in general. An occasional presidential candidate, and as conservatives, as Republicans, we all kind of went gaga and went, oh, black conservative, yay, which we do, because as conservatives, we are the people who, by definition, do not care about the pigment or the plumbing. I don't care what race anybody is. I don't care what sex anybody is, just so long as you know which one you are. I don't care about any of that. What matters is what's in your head, what's in your heart, and how strong is your spine. That's what I care about. Now, that having been said, if in a talented group of candidates for a given office, all the way up to President of the United States, if one or some of them happen to be people of color or women or both, that's why everybody just went totally out of their minds about Condoleezza Rice, whom I have always loved. But when everybody went, oh, Condi Rice for president, I went, yeah, sit tight a minute. As I did when everybody went Colin Powell for president. Yeah, sit tight a minute. Because that's wonderful gimmickry to have a black woman Republican nominee for president, if that ever happens. That's great. But it has to be exactly the right kind of person. And again, the pigment and the plumbing don't matter. And I said, I got a whole lot of questions for Condoleezza Rice. I'm like, what does she think about abortion rights? What does she think about gun control? What does she think about spending and taxes and all this good stuff? Her foreign policy accomplishments are beyond doubt. Those boxes are checked, as with Colin Powell. But what about everything else? And in Colin Powell's case, he's a liberal. I mean, I don't just mean a liberal Republican, you know, a la Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski. No, I mean an actual Obama-supporting liberal. So I told everybody, just tap the brakes, just look out. And Trump broke him to a degree, too. And so there are a couple of stories here. Anytime somebody passes away, the first someone of such great consequence, I honor profoundly the Colin Powell track record of service to our nation. That it's almost unparalleled. When you take a look at the track record of when we've talked about him and when he's been a topic in the news and the path that he chose, it wound up being a path steadfastly toward the Democrat Party. Just was. And I think the lesson in that is to pay really, really close attention. Don't throw gauze over your eyes because of race or sex or even a track record of service to the country. I mean, you look at Condi Rice and what she did in terms of service to the country. Service to the country is great. You know who served our country really nobly? Jimmy Carter. You know, I mean, so the service to the country in a variety of ways is something that we're going to be really grateful for and pay you enormous respect for. In no way does that blaze a linear path toward, hey, you need to be president of the United States. So let's not get snowed. Let's not take our eye off the ball. And please, no matter what somebody brings to the table, because the best presidency of my lifetime, which was the last one, was from a guy who had no military service whatsoever and no elected political experience whatsoever. Yeah, how'd that happen? It's called having the right ideas, having a heart for this country, and having a spine of steel. It's the thing that, and I guess I'll make this distinction. Everybody, oh, what about Reagan? And the whole Reagan versus Trump tug of war, if there must be one. See if this distinction makes sense. Okay. Reagan was my favorite president. Okay. In terms of the person who occupied the office. And in order to be my favorite president, some really awesome things needed to happen. And boy, did they. The Reagan years will be legendary for all of my life. My favorite presidency, which is the period of time encompassed by what the occupant did, that's Trump, Trump, and Trump. Because Reagan rescued us from a second term of Jimmy Carter and set us going in the right direction in a lot of ways in the 80s. Trump saved us from Hillary Clinton and gave us from the wisdom of strong borders to constitutionalist Supreme Court justices to a vigorous economy that showed everyone with the eyes to see and the ears to hear the way to jumpstart an economy and the way to hold America in high regard on the world stage. Does that make sense? My favorite president, Reagan. My favorite presidency, Trump. Because of the things he did. Now, I will tell you, that doesn't mean, oh, Mark, that must be one of those people who appreciates the achievements but really just doesn't like the guy. I love the guy. Are there tweets that made me crazy? Sure. Some wheels-off moments that made me bury my head in my hands for a morning? Sure. But he loves this country and fought for it and brought us the kind of vigor and energy, and I'll say this for maybe the 23rd time, of all the things Trump did in those years that I miss so very, very much right now, of all the things that he did in terms of hardcore nuts and bolts policy, deregulation, pro-business, lower taxes, constitutionalist Supreme Court justices, also incredibly, incredibly important. But the thing that, but you know what? Any steadfast conservative president could have done that, quite seriously. The thing that Trump did with singular skill is beat the holy hell out of the left. The media, the professorial dorks, the corridors of leftist control in higher education, Hollywood, various other enclaves, calling them out, loosening the grip that they have had on our culture and our politics for decades. It was masterful. And I will tell you that it is that, at least as much as the policies that create the hunger for someone Trump-like, whether it's DeSantis, maybe Tom Cotton, maybe Mike Pompeo. That's what creates that hunger. Will someone fight? Because look at where we are. Look what we have. Look at all this economic nonsense. Look at the Afghan withdrawal. Look at the cultural slide. This is a time to fight. It is a time to armor up, saddle up, and save this country. And that's the kind of mindset we have, which is why, pardon me, I'm kind of on a roll here. There are some wonderful people. And speaking of black conservatives, how do you not love Senator Tim Scott in South Carolina? He's awesome. And I think this is part of what counts a little bit against Pence. Wonderful, scholarly, has that presidential look, like looks like the guy from Central Casting for President of the United States. But there's a question as to are these guys just down in the dirt fighters, scrappers, sharp elbows, because that's what's going to be coming at us. And we'd best be ready. We'd best be ready. So it is the death of Colin Powell that sent me on all of those various tangents. Passes away at 84. Family says it is, you never know. It is from complications of COVID. It might also be called being 84. I don't know. But I do know this. That was an amazing life led by General Powell, and the country is richer for his service. We are richer for paying attention to the God who made us, so let's do. And grab your calls, and let me talk to you about some stuff from the weekend and things making the news this morning. And you can bring me things that are popping into your head on this Monday morning, the 18th of October. 866-660-5759. Did you find yourself going a little bit gaga for Colin Powell for president there back in the day? Because it seemed like such a cool idea. Military guy, you know, black guy who sort of looked conservative. Yay. Well, we learned otherwise. But it was, I'm kind of nostalgic about that. It was, and it was kind of interesting. I remember one point, that was when the seeds were planted for the speech that I now deliver all the time, which is that almost nothing is about race anymore. It's all about politics. Because black people didn't give two flips about Colin Powell. Black people don't care about Condoleezza Rice. White folks love him. No, white conservatives anyway. But so that was the very beginning of that, where I said, you know what? If you have two book signings, you know, at adjacent bookstores, you know, all the black people will be, you know, Bill or Hillary Clinton, and all the white people are going to be there for Colin Powell. So which and I said it then, I'll say it now, which is good. It is good to have differences. It's good to have preferences that are based on beliefs rather than on the complete irrelevancy of skin color. All right, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Lord, be with us as we chart a course out of this COVID nightmare. Help us to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we fight for the unborn, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Speaking of fighting for the unborn, there is a Democrat running for Attorney General of Texas who had an incendiary tweet about what it means. I love when Democrats tell me what it means to be pro-life. So I had a reply, and there are replies to that. And it serves to remind you, as I will here in a second, that there are people who believe things like the ghoulish material I'm about to ladle out here. So be aware. 724, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Got a birthday. Born 95 years ago, the great Chuck Berry.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the Everglades.
Johnny B. Goode. Summer of 1958.
Country boy named Johnny B. Goode, who never
Chuck lived a long time. He's only been gone about 4 years. Holy cow. Go, Johnny, go. All righty, Twitter adventures. Lee Merritt, attorney of note who shows up in a lot of the stories that involve race and police, et cetera, I woke up on Saturday morning just looking through some stuff, and I love when the left tells me what pro-life means. So here's Lee Merritt. We must reject the lie and the myth that in order to be pro-life, we must trap a woman's privacy rights and her reproductive decisions while doing nothing to address one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the industrialized world. What? I don't need to spend my weekend time going around the Twitter tree with Lee Merritt. But, you know, I thought folks may see something, and anytime I can make a point that needs to be made, I will. So my reply, actually, pro-life is defined by the sacredness of the newly created life, irrespective of circumstance, in a way that outweighs privacy or reproductive rights. And that said, a mother's life at risk takes precedence in all abortion law. So I identified the straw man of maternal mortality. I didn't get or require, you know, more rounds with Lee. But the people who replied, what makes the fertilized ovum sacred? So sacred that you would take responsibility for raising it? Well, ma'am, someone should. That's it is the responsibility of someone who creates life to see to it that that life is cared for. And if you don't want to be a mom at 16 or 25 or 33 or whatever, adoption, adoption, adoption. What is sacred about a microscopic bit of tissue embedded into a uterus? It's just a clump of cells. These are real human beings. And I don't need to waste time going back and forth with these people either. But the overall point here is that you were once that clump of cells. You were once that fertilized ovum. Somebody decided to leave you alone, and that's why you're here, because your life is sacred and became sacred at the moment you began to grow in your mother's womb. Blindness to that is a daily sadness. Here's a daily joy, our chat with Mike Gallagher. He's next, 7:32. Nikki Whaley is in for Gordon Griffin. Here she is.
Moved in my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away.
Thought it'd be a couple of weeks before I started rolling this out. Jumpin' Gene Simmons.
I knew I'd moved in a haunted house.
And Haunted House. I usually tend to roll out the Halloween library like a couple of days early, but Mike sent me so many deliciously wonderful, scary stuff from over his weekend. And wow, what property? Where were you?
Universal Studios, Orlando.
Man, they got it going on over there.
Well, let me tell you what they got going on. It's called the Hollywood Horror Nights, and since I know you hate that stuff, I kept sending you pictures because you were so funny. You kept saying, "Out, I'm out,
out,
I'm
nope,
out,
nope,
no
nope,
way."
Nope.
I mean, and it's not and really that they jump.
I'm half kidding, by the way.
Yeah,
the kid in me loves this, and so yeah.
And the kid of me loves this because I grew up going to haunted houses in Ohio, and now this is a lot different than they jump out at you. This is really performative. I mean, they do these real cool houses. Now, what's interesting is, and the tour guide we had, because I, you know, if you get a guide and okay, I know. Well, listen, honestly, there's two ways to get a guide, though.
Yes.
You can get a private tour,
right.
And that's thousands, and that's off the table.
Yes.
But you can get a non-private tour. Uh-huh. You're in a group with 12 people. And you don't know who they are, but it's about $200 a person. So it's not like it's thousands.
No.
For $200, you don't stand in one line.
That's
so there's
so
10
great.
Haunted houses, and you see all of them in about 3 hours.
Very
now,
cool.
Understand the line for these things are 2-3 hours long.
Of course.
Mark, the sea of human. Let me put it this way.
Yep.
If any of them got it, I got it.
Because have you got some of those Binax tests ready to go?
Oh, I've been taking Binaxes every 5 minutes. There's no way I don't have it. But it's true. Like, nobody had a mask on inside haunted houses. And I'm thinking, now all the performers do, and all the tour guides do, but thousands, a few, at one point, I was wading through a sea of humanity at Universal Studios Orlando thinking, it'll be a miracle if I'm not on a ventilator by Wednesday. Because, I mean, you either believe in the vaccine don't, or you believe in ivermectin or you don't. I've got an ivermectin update for you, by the way. Remind me to tell you about my ivermectin update.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a great experience, but it reminded, I'm not kidding you, when I say thousands and thousands, you use a phrase that I always cringe when you say it on air, so I'm going to say the cleaner version, elbow to elbow.
Yes.
All right?
Your
expression is a little much,
right. Sorry.
but it's okay. We get it. That's the idea. Elbow to elbow, maskless, happy Americans living their life. And you know what? It just collectively hit me. Everybody in this crowd is saying, all right, I may get this thing. I hope I don't.
Yep.
I'm going to play the odds. I'm going to play the numbers. I'm going to do what's right for me health-wise. General Colin Powell did what he thought was right for him health-wise. He was evidently fully vaccinated, and he died of COVID. By the way, newsflash, that ain't going to help the vaccine hesitant. People are going to hear that headline, see that headline, and say, huh, there you go, vaccine smarty pants. You know, and I get it. It's a numbers game. He was 84. I don't know if any other pre-existing conditions he may have had.
Well, there were some, because it was called COVID-related complications. But go ahead.
Right, they didn't just say, that was the family. The family said that, and who knows what we'll get the details, I'm sure. But it was people saying, I'm going to roll the dice of life. I'm going to laugh.
Use your own term. I'm going to live with the virus. I'm not going to be under my bed. I'm not going to be cooped up in a bubble. I'm going to take certain levels of risk. I mean, I'm not going to go, you know, kissing a room full of strangers and stuff like that. But I'm going to live with the virus.
Let me tell you why this is a sensitive issue right now. I've got a very, very close family friend, probably as close to me as family could be, all right, without being family. And they have a wedding of the century going on next weekend.
Wow.
And I was one of the first people invited. Mm-hmm. And it's about 200 people inside a room.
How are we doing?
And I know that most of them are not vaccinated.
Are we going?
I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. And I just figure, and it's stupid of me. I'm thinking, I had a bad feeling about it. But on the other hand, as I know they'll point out, oh, I don't mind wading through a crowd of thousands of people at Universal Studios, Florida.
Thank you, because every time you or I open up, pull back the curtain, share a little personal thing, it can reflect with countless listeners who will either agree or disagree, handle it the same way, or handle it differently. So here's my slice and dice on this. For people going, well, you go around thousands of strangers, but you're not. What are you going to do at the wedding that you absolutely were not doing at Universal Studios?
I would
hugs,
be standing,
handshaking,
hugs,
face-to-face conversations, cheek kisses. Absolutely.
For prolonged periods of time. Yep. At least with the haunted houses and the crowds at Universal, you're walking through, moving. I'm not face-to-face with somebody for an hour and a half in an enclosed area, but it still rips my heart out.
I feel like
a damn big, fat baby, and I know it. And there's a part of me that says they're saying behind my back, "What a big fat baby!"
I guarantee you they are.
I know they are.
I'm kidding. I don't know them. I don't know.
No, I love them. You know them, and I don't want to say it on the air, but I love these people. This is my family, and it just rips me out. You know, I'm worried. Listen, I'm thinking about the holidays. You know, Lord Fauci gave us his blessing for the holidays. He also said the Johnson & Johnson always should have been a two-dose vaccine.
Great.
Oh, thanks for telling us now, Doc.
I thought about you.
Thank you.
It said everybody who got Johnson & Johnson should have gotten a second shot within a couple of months. I went, oh, Lord.
Now you tell me? Great. So like a dummy, off I go. I'm getting the booster this week. I got it scheduled. I'm going to go get the second one.
Well, good for you.
I
can feel it just listening right now. There are all kinds of people, because here do come the holidays, and here comes some things that people might want to be doing. And you know, should I not? And there's a spectrum between. At one end of the spectrum is people go, screw it, let's go and dive in and don't care, don't think about it, whatever. And there's a certain energizing liberty to that. At the other end are the people who are hiding under the bed, and I kind of cry for them. That's just not a way to live
life.
In the middle is everybody else, and what your best defense is, because you love these people so much and you don't want to disappoint them and you don't want to seem like somebody toward the fearful end of the spectrum, and you're not. What you are to your defense, and you can wrap yourself in the Teflon of this, is very simple. I don't want to get COVID. Say it, repeat it. I just don't want to get it.
I just don't want to be sick. And I'm not afraid of dying of it. I'm really not. I'm a pretty healthy 61-year-old guy. But then again, you hear about healthy. I'm not worried about that. Let me tell you what I'm worried about most of all. And I feel so stupid saying this out loud. And then we're going to move on, because I want to congratulate you on Colin Powell. I want to say something about this huge, huge news of this major, major political, military, historic figure dying of COVID complications at the age of 84 this morning. And your monologue this morning is something that honestly kind of brought a tear to my eye, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But let me just get this off my chest. Mm-hmm. I feel now this personal responsibility. In a week and a half, I go off to South Carolina to start rehearsals for Annie.
Yep.
I'm going to play Oliver Warbucks in a production that this theater has been waiting for 2 years. They had to wait. They built a brand new theater in downtown Greenville, South Carolina, the South Carolina Children's Theater. It is a state-of-the-art theater. They're so proud of it, and they couldn't use it. I mean, it just sat empty. So this is their big holiday extravaganza. Annie, I mean, we're only doing about 99 performances. I mean, they're going to knock me out.
Is there a noon, a 2, a 4, a 6, an 8?
Oh, it's a 2 o'clock, it's an 8 o'clock,
format
it's a 9. So, but I go in a week and a half. They've already admitted, if something happens to you, God forbid, we'll just have to shut the show down. Because there's no understudy for me. There's no Daddy Warbucks in the wing, in the wings. Mm-hmm. And so I feel a responsibility because if I got a positive test, and again, I think I'd be sick. I think you'd be fine. I think Lisa would be fine. I think we're playing the odds. If we get it, we get it. And chances are we're going to get it. There's some big people around us getting it. And I'm not going to share any names about that either. I'll let that play out. And I'll let, as you said this morning, the game come to us. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got, there's news about COVID in the country. Don't worry, but we're going to probably, Mark, isn't there a part of you that thinks we're all going to get it? At some point, we're all going to get COVID?
Distinctly possible. And yet, on exactly the theme you're striking, I'm going to do my best while still living life to not get it. So, with your Daddy Warbucks role and so many people's so many people's projects,
joy
depending
project,
on you being extra mega uber super careful.
Hundreds of people.
Absolutely.
Yep. Hundreds of people. So I feel a responsibility, a heavy responsibility.
Good for you.
And incidentally, the universal thing was probably, stupid, because keeping that in mind, but yeah. I've also done the math in my mind.
Yep.
If I were to have gotten it from there, it's about 10, 12 days, they say. That's the cycle.
Island West,
I mean, and I'll still make it. You know, it's October 18th today. I don't start rehearsals till November 1. So if I test positive the next few days, I mean, because right now I'm pretty well careful, not doing a whole lot, masking up, and you can make fun of me all you want, but I don't want to shut down this production. But by the way, P.S., may not go to the wedding. I'm spending Christmas with my kids and my granddaughter. We're going to all be together at Christmas time,
fantastic.
So you can take that to the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let me tip my hat to you. You know, the left, when one of us dies, when somebody, and look at what they did with the 8 or 9 or, 74 talk show hosts who all passed of COVID, right? There are a whole bunch of them. And they mocked us. They made fun of conservatives who were supposedly anti-vax, even when many of them weren't anti-vax. Phil Valentine out of Nashville wasn't anti-vax. He was anti-mandate. Mm-hmm. But they conflate the two. If you're anti-mandate, you must be anti-mask and you're anti-COVID and all this crap, blah, blah, blah. The left is classless. They're mean-spirited. They can be vile. We don't do that when somebody on the left dies. Somebody on the left died. Colin Powell died. As you said, he was a pretty classic Obama-loving liberal. Your kudos to him for his service, for the role he played, despite the way, let's face it, he made us crazy over Trump and over politics. You didn't let that change the narrative that this is a historic figure who sadly died at the age of 84.
A great American.
That's the way the right does it. That's the way conservatives respond. And we're going to do the same thing on my show today. We're going to honor his service. We don't pick at the scabs of times that, because it's a good philosophical question. There are some who say, if you have major differences with somebody when they're alive, why do they end when they die?
That is true.
It's fair. But I'll tell you why.
But
you know why it's fair?
Uh-huh.
Because we believe that's hurtful. We believe that's mean. We believe that's a mean-spirited thing to do.
But I hope I prove that it's possible to observe those differences and describe the ways in which he kind of threw a curveball to any Republican who ever thought about him for president without dishonoring his service or taking away from the incredible life he led.
And you did it masterfully.
No,
that's
kind.
What I mean.
Thank
I was
you.
So proud of you this
Thank
morning,
you.
And I'm going to try to use that same kind of grace and smarts as we acknowledge the death of former Secretary of State Colin Powell at the age of 84. Quick ivermectin update.
Yes.
You remember the story about my doc phoned it in to the wrong pharmacy in blue Seattle, right? I mean, pharmacist calls, we're not going to be fulfilling. We will not be dispensing ivermectin. Yes. Why are you taking that? And a whole big thing,
and
right?
And while we have you, Mr. Gallagher, you're going to have a tough time getting anybody to cover that, you crazy person.
Right. Right. And so, of course, Florida, boom, hashtag Florida.
Exactly.
Trump is my president, signs all over. Did I send you those bumper stickers?
They're awesome.
Driving to Disney, there were like 9 cars. Joe Biden's not my president. Yeah. Trump is my president. We know he really won. Boy, I love living in Florida. Anyway, guess what the new obstacle is on, and I didn't even realize this, with ivermectin?
What?
My insurance company won't cover it. They don't cover it. They won't approve it. Now, thankfully, I'm blessed to have a living where I can say, all right, stick that in your ear. I'll buy it.
Yep.
But isn't that interesting that now that's the latest thing? They don't want you taking
something off-label. No, here's the thing. Insurance makes decisions based on a variety of factors. If insurance views something as dicey or not particularly well-founded or whatever, I can see them going, guess what? We're not going to do that. Kind of a rogue prescription. But that doesn't seem to be the case. There are a lot of people doing ivory. You can like it, not like it, believe in it, not believe in it, but I'm instantly wondering if the insurance company is making a political stand.
I think they are, because it's off. Well, I don't know. It's off label. Who knows? Here's the good news. Yeah. It cost about 37 cents a tablet.
It's very
inexpensive, so it doesn't even matter. So you can bypass your insurance company with a smile, and I'm going today to refill it because it's out, and I'll be taking – I may have to double up on my ivermectin and get ready for my after my universal experience.
Make an ivermectin smoothie.
I got COVID coming out of my pores today. I'm super spreader Mike. All right.
We're ready, man. Happy Monday, Mike.
You.
We will be there for him, Mike Gallagher, today at 10 on 660 AM The Answer. All right. Let's dance our way out of this hour and into the next and see what adventures lie ahead. 866-660-5759. The life, the legacy, and yes, the politics. The perhaps ever-shifting politics of Colin Powell passing away at 84. Died of COVID complications and yet fully vaccinated. Uh-oh, what are we to make of that? Well, that may differ. And a number of other things that are making the news as we begin a fresh new week together. 866-660-5759. How about them Cowboys? And other things on our mind. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Stick around.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.